back here on Darren Adonik. Darren McFarland, Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 alongside. Our next guest, you can watch on NHL Network this afternoon. Ryan Whitney is going to be on NHL Now with EJ Raddick and Jackie Redmond. That's today at 3 o'clock. Love that show. Watch it all the time. Check your local channel listings on where you can find it here in the Middle Tennessee area. Ryan, how you doing?
Good, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. Just during the break, I was telling Steve about this. On Friday, we had a caller call in and say that they are watching the Predators game the night before. Their cable went out. They went outside the house to check the cable wires to see if what was going on, why they couldn't watch their Predators game. And she got attacked by a bat. And it was such a bizarre story. I'm like, I think I'm getting punked. I think this has got to be a joke. There was a prize attached. I think she just wanted the prize. She just tweeted me during the break her hospital records. She did get attacked by a bat while she was out looking for her cable wire so she could watch the Predators game.
That's passion, right?
Is that
there.
Dedication or what?
Fighting through a bat attack.
Is that dedication or what? That's what's going on in this market, Ryan.
That makes sense. I mean, to me, it's if not the best, at least top three best atmospheres, best places to play right now. I think people love that city. I mean, I know I'm from Boston and felt like half the city went down because they know how fun Nashville is to watch the Titans beat up on the Patriots, but it just shows how great of a city it is to live in, to play in, and then, you know, once you bring the hockey involved, these fans are just so excited every night, so loud, the place gets rocking, and teams don't like going there, so I don't blame anyone for enjoying watching the Predators as much as possible. They're, right now, I'd say, you know, a tough loss last night, they still got a point, they're the best team in the league.
We were talking about this in the last segment. You know this better than us. It's a long season. Teams aren't perfect. Even the best teams, they're not perfect. There's something they have to work on. Last year, it was the constant theme of the Predators were constantly in the box having to kill off penalties. They ended up playing the entire regular season as the most penalized team in the league. It didn't hurt them. They ended up winning the President's Trophy, so it did not affect them in the regular season. Right now, it's the power play struggles. They're last in the league. They had seven opportunities last night, no power play. As a player, when you're going through whatever's going on where something's not working, special teams, five on five, what have you, what are you actively talking about in the room to try to fix it? How does that work when you know the problem, but you're trying to figure out how to make it go away?
Yeah, I think that power play, especially when you're struggling, especially when you have the skill of Nashville, you just have to simplify things. And such a cliche, I think hockey players listen and are probably like, well, that's what everyone says, but it is the answer in terms of just getting pucks to the net. So not only are you trying to get more pucks to the net, but every time there's a shot from the point, and they got some guys who can really bring it, there needs to be a body in front. So sometimes, you know, you get just a little bit plain on the outside where I think guys are trying to make the perfect play. You get the puck, you have a chance to shoot it. You want to make one more pass, have it be a tap in. You know, the defenseman up top maybe gets a shot block as opposed to making sure it gets by the first guy, penalty killing. So there's a bunch of little things that go into making a power play good. I will say Nashville, I think with their roster and especially who they have defensively, you know, running these power plays from up top, they're going to be fine. It is shocking. I mean, this is decently far into the season. You're getting towards the quarter mark. In terms of them being last, I would have never guessed it, but I do think that at some point it'll click, and then from there it'll just really keep going because they have the one issue of just trying to do a little bit too much right now, and that can be solved. It is surprising it hasn't been solved yet.
Very wide open question for you. When you see the Predators, when you watch the Predators, this year's team in particular, even though it's basically the same team as last year, what do you see, Ryan?
I see Ryan Johansson taking a huge step and looking like one of the best players in the league. And it's always been there, and I think he's always had stretches where, you know, for 10 games he'll just dominate and then maybe go a little quiet. It seems this entire year he's just been on kind of a different level, and it makes sense. You know, I think maybe he's just learning. I think Laviolette's taught him a lot since he's been there, and his skill will always be there. It'll always be able to take over games at certain points. But I think effort-wise, I think maybe if there was ever a complaint, and it's really hard to find one with that guy, but if there ever was a complaint, it was that he'd take a couple games off effort-wise. It almost looked like he was a little sluggish, but this year it just seems every shift he's just focused, he's playing quicker, he's playing harder. Nobody likes playing against him, so not only is he skilled, he can be you know, he could be tough to play against, be kind of a, not a rat, but somebody that, you know, the opposition hates. And that's just great. I've noticed that. And then I always notice their top four D. I always say it's the best top four in the league. So that and Rene. And even when Rene was out, you got to give Saros a lot of credit. I mean, he looked phenomenal. If you could ever have a backup that's that good, it just takes the pressure off in terms of if your starter ever gets injured or just needs some rest. So it's just such a deep team. It's very hard to not find a bunch of good things that they've done the entire season.
Very good observation on Ryan Johansson on your part. While he hasn't said this, we've certainly talked about it. I've noticed the same thing, talked about it a lot, pregame, postgame, this radio show. You know what? Your employer may have had something to do with that. Ryan, do you know where I'm going with this? You know, in the offseason, what we all do, our list, right? We all have our list of everything. And NHL Network did their list. And top 20 centermen, guess who wasn't on the list? Ryan Johansson.
He's going on a little bit of proof some people wrong, Tor.
Look, you know this better than anybody. Yeah. I've been doing this a long time. Coaches and players say they don't listen to what people are saying about them. They don't read what's being written about them. It's all baloney. They do. And like I said, he hasn't said anything, but I know he knows about it. He has to know about it. And don't tell me that it's not serving as a little bit of a motivator this year that he was left out in the top 20 centermen in the league.
Yeah, I don't think I wouldn't disagree with you. I mean, I think that he's probably looking at that like, wow. I mean, one, I think they're wrong. I'm going to go prove them. And two, it shouldn't even be a question. So maybe that's had something to do with it. I think sometimes those things get a little overrated. But you're right. I mean, if he's looking at his own game and where he wants to be, the player he wants to be, and sees that, it's definitely a motivator that he easily could have kind of taken and run with this year.
Ryan Whitney on the line with us. I do want to ask you something about already two coaching changes in the Western Conference, one in the Predators division, and one, believe it or not, they're not going to see on this five-game road trip, even though they left Southern California. Let's start in Los Angeles with the Kings, John Stevens. It didn't last very long. 1 year last year, they get to the playoffs. Yeah, they got swept by Vegas, but he barely made it, 10 games into this season, so barely over a year, he's out. One, what did you think of that move? L.A. has had tremendous struggles. Quick hook there. And then, of course, all the work that Joel Quenneville did in Chicago, quite a run for a decade, 3 cups in 6 years. He's out in Chicago, and, oh, by the way, it hasn't gotten any better. They've lost 8 in a row.
Yeah, it's crazy times that those two teams that have been powerhouses, it seems, for 10 years are just where they're at right now. And in L.A., John Stevens, I think it was a little quick. I look at that roster, and we've said a lot on the NHL Network here, it's a slower team. They're not super quick, and it seems like that's what you have to be very good in the NHL now. So it's tough for them. Jonathan Quick went down, and now Willie Desjardins there, and Jack Campbell, their backup, he's now injured. So it's a very tough time in L.A. with not much bright, you know, it doesn't look great in the future either. I mean, I don't know where they're going to go from here for the rest of this season, and it's going to be tough. And then in Chicago, it's kind of a similar thing. I mean, the Panarin trade in Chicago was kind of seemed like the beginning of the end in terms of Joel Quenneville and Stan Bowman's relationship. Maybe not the beginning of the end, but kind of the final straw where they really didn't get along and see eye to eye. And that's turned out to be a really bad trade. I mean, Panarin's one of the top players in the league, and him and Kane had some incredible chemistry, so it is shocking to see where those two teams have gone. And you got a feel for both guys who come in and take over as the job of coaches, because it hasn't looked any better since they've been there.
Ryan Whitney, analyst for the NHL Network, with us here on 102.5 The Game. Ryan, you mentioned it here during the interview that we're nearing the quarter pole of the NHL season. Are the Canucks this good? They're on top of the Pacific Division right now. Do they have staying power?
I don't know. I didn't see this coming at all. I mean, I'm just as shocked as anyone else. I want to say no, but it just seems that something's cooking there. And obviously, the main thing being Elias Pettersson. And I mean, he has moments. He kind of looks like Pavel Datsyuk. I mean, he has some incredible moves. I don't know if you saw. He would have scored an OT winner against Buffalo. He got tripped up for a penalty. It would have been the goal of the year. He's been game-changing for them, and he makes the team a completely different team in terms of offensive and stuff, and Bo Horvath and Brock Besser, too. So maybe they do have staying power. I didn't think their D was good enough. I wasn't sure about the goaltending, although I played with Jakob Markstrom, and he does have moments of kind of brilliance, so maybe he's really figured it out. And if anything, though, it is it's very surprising and good for the league, I'd say. I mean, you know, you plan on a team being poor and really struggling, and all of a sudden they're playing really well. It's definitely good, and it definitely makes the league a little deeper. I think this is the deepest I've ever seen in the NHL. It seems like every night, anyone could beat anyone. I've never really seen it like this. Never seen it so close in the standings. So it's a good time to be an NHL fan.
So when you look at those standings as we near about the 20-game mark, give me your surprises so far. One in a good way, one in a team that's been a disappointment.
I think a surprise has been Buffalo in a good way. I think they've really improved. They brought a ton over in the trade for Ryan O'Reilly, who's, you know, he's been fabulous in St. Louis. But Buffalo is just, I think Jack Eichel's really picked up his game. They're getting some great play. Rasmus Dahlin, you know, he hasn't lit the world on fire as a rookie as Elias Pettersson, but if you watch Buffalo play, he's solid. He can skate like the wind. He can log minutes. So he's a game changer, and they got a bunch of guys playing some really good hockey. And in a disappointment way, it might be the St. Louis Blues. I know I just mentioned the O'Reilly trade, but I expected a lot of them this year. So did they. They signed Tyler Bozak. They traded for O'Reilly. They got Tarasenko. They got a bunch of really good players up front. Alex Steen, Pietrangelo on D. And they've just really struggled, and it's shocking to see.
You get to see a lot of the Maple Leafs, obviously, and pay close attention to them. What do you make about them? Because I think a lot of people looked at the moves they made this summer and thought, watch out, this is a team that absolutely is a contender for the Stanley Cup this year. They've been good, but maybe not great so far. What do you make of the Maple Leafs?
Well, I think they'll be right there at the end of the year. I don't know about in the Cup, but they'll be a playoff team with a chance to do some damage. I mean, Austin, you know, it has really hurt them. And then they don't have William Nylander signed, and that's kind of a long show in Toronto. But they're still, I mean, one of the top teams, especially offensively. Morgan Riley's Norris Trophy candidate right now. And, you know, Frederik Andersen's still doing his thing. They're a team that's going to be there right at the end of the year.
You like doing this stuff? How you like life on the other side?
I like it. I actually have a meeting right now for the show, so I got to run. But I do like coming on. I appreciate it, you guys.
Good visit. Good. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bye.
Ryan Whitney. Right. He's got. This is his job. This is what he does now.
We appreciate him fitting us in right there.
NHL Now with EJ Raddick and Jackie Redmond and our guest Ryan Whitney. That'll be today at 3:00 on NHL Network.